Welcome to Life Goal Talks. My name is Sheetal, and today we're going to bring together many different worlds, and just as well, because the person who's going to be joining me is really an embodiment of so many different things. He's Rajesh Krishnan, President and Chief Operations Officer at Bajaj Alliance Life Insurance. And that's exactly who we're going to look to for information and advice and pointers and suggestions for, guess who? NRIs. So there's a, dhadkan that is in their hearts, that beats for India. But that's sentimentality. There is also a practical, idea that they want to pursue, which is to own a bit of that India heritage for themselves. And when I say own, I literally mean own over here. We're talking about NRIs and investment opportunities for them on this episode of Life Goal Talks. And Rajesh, you're just the man that I need. And I've already established the reason why I need you to walk us through this. You've been an NRI for a very brief period. Rajesh, I want you to, since you're such a keen observer of these trends, right? Tell us what makes the India story one that appeals to everyone today. India is quite the global outlier.
First of all, thank you, Sheetal, for having me in the show. And you're talking about a topic which is pretty close to me, the NRI segment. And NRIs typically have invested in India for broadly two reasons. One is emotional. Because it's their homeland, they want to come and invest, and second is economical. While the emotional aspect has always been there, the economical aspect has gained a tremendous amount of confidence over the last few years. You look at India's macroeconomic indicators, the GDP is growing at the expected rate, and we are expected to be the third largest economy in the world pretty soon. There are indicators of FDI, which is foreign direct investments coming into India, at an all-time high. There is a 20 times growth over the last 20 years, which says that the confidence of the foreign investors to put money into India is gaining momentum year after year. Also, India as a leadership, as a global leadership, is gaining even more confidence. India's leadership gets recognized. So you talk about the recent G20 that has got hosted here, to the leadership getting recognized as the country with the highest level of confidence. All these factors combined, coming together, is making India a very favorable investment. What is added to the whole story on the tactical side as well is the regulatory development in India. So traditionally, if I can ask you that, where would your parents or your previous generation would have invested in India?
I think that's a simple one. Because all my childhood, I'm sure it's the same with you, Rajesh, we've only heard about real estate. That is what our parents usually are working towards. Every pie is getting put into the bank account, fixed deposits, post office, remember post office savings, all of that towards buying real estate. That's one. And I think traditionally we've always loved gold. We've not really, I think, looked at it as an purely as an investment opportunity, but that's where a lot of the family wealth has gone into. Am I getting to the place that you want to take me?
Yeah, absolutely. That's how it has been, and they're not wrong choices, right? But what has happened over the past few years is the massive transformation of India's financial services sector, because it's with the regulatory authorities coming in place, there is a far better governance. And we've gone through a couple of global events like Lehman Brothers in 2008. You look at the COVID, which happened globally. India has weathered, the Indian economy has weathered these things and has come up pretty strong despite all these events coming in, and many of the countries are not too. And if you look at our own sector, because of the huge regulatory governance framework which is there, and it brings in transparency in the investor, so which gives immense amount of confidence for the investor to come and invest in India, and knowing that these are easy products, just like the way our government is trying to do ease of doing business, they are also doing ease of doing investment in India. It's far more transparent, far more easy to get into, and with all the investment vehicles coming in together, and with the knowledge build up which is happening by the newer generation, they are far more well-rounded than the previous generations, I would say, because there are tons of literature available across the internet. They are an internet generation. Probably the question that I asked you, your parents' generation, they were not internet, so you were dependent on someone to come up and tell us about where should I invest. So typically the advice has always been a real estate, gold, fixed deposit. That's the farthest that one could go. with the advent of many of the financial services coming in, including life insurance sector opening up around 2000. It's been a brilliant journey as far as India is concerned, and huge amount of confidence among the investors to come and invest in India.
You know, important question, because we've already touched upon the fact that there are plenty of options available to NRIs, and yet we are focused on life insurance in India for an NRI. Now, other than the obvious reason, which is that you are part of Bajaj Alliance Life Insurance, why are we talking about insurance? Why is this an important area of priority for them?
Well, you're right. There are plenty of avenues for an NRI to invest in India today. The financial services sector is a very matured industry today, which offers a spectrum of products. I'll come into life insurance, and I will say that why. Broadly, I'll answer with two specific ones. The first one is that today's life insurance industry offers a spectrum of various categories to help an NRI to achieve their life goals. And broadly, they are retirement in particular, term insurance in particular, for retirement, for ensuring that the income continues after their work life gets over, term insurance for any kind of an eventuality, and wealth creation. And I would say that the recent survey that Bajaj Alliance did, almost more than 50% of the people surveyed came back and said that they are not ready with their life goals, they are not saved enough. And that is a huge revealing aspect. The second thing that also the survey revealed was health and fitness came across as one of the biggest priorities in today's India. So that continues to be. So our products, when I come to Bajaj Alliance product, we also keep in mind that how do we not only create a product, but also ensure that we cultivate a good health and habit into our customers. The third aspect is our wealth creation. And the survey also revealed that one of the primary goal for most of the respondents was to save enough to send their children for higher education. And as you know, that higher education cost is just going up, and inflation is shooting up. So it's important that one saves much in advance, and life insurance industry is well capacitized to enable an NRI to save for these goals, because the investments are designed for long term, and long term for the investment manager means the longer you are in the money, the longer you stay in the market, the higher your probability of generating better returns. So that's one of the primary reason. And secondly, I wouldn't say that one should put all their money into life insurance. That's not the goal to be, just because I'm part of a life insurance company. Typically, you look at the investment of an individual, and this is a food for thought. One should look at saying that what percentage of my total savings that am I pumping into a life insurance premium? Or what percentage of my total wealth that I'm having is in a life insurance product? This number will be minuscule. So which says that, you know, it's also when you're talking about asset allocation, life insurance industry is also an asset allocation that one should look at. You know, you should invest across industries. There is immense scope with the innovative products that like industry is coming up in collaboration with our reinsurers and using technologies. It's only getting cheaper for the customers to get in with, also better returns for the customer. So there is enough for everybody to play in this market. It's not only life insurance industry, but life insurance industry has a lot more room to expand from here on, and one should seriously consider investing in these innovative products.
Here's another very important consideration if you're an NRI. Some of the rules and guidelines, Rajesh, if you can tell us what that landscape is like. It's not as simple as I'm an NRI because I moved yesterday to the US of A, right?
Let's look at who's an NRI. NRI is typically a non-resident Indian, is someone who's been out of India for a reasonable amount of time, and there are further rules to that. I would encourage one to read about it and familiarize yourself whether one qualifies to be an NRI or not. A typical non-resident Indian can invest either from their earnings outside India, or they can invest from earnings in India. So the one which is outside India is called a NRE investment, which is a fully repatriable funds. So if you invest from the earnings abroad and if you from your earnings in a foreign currency, those amounts are also eligible for repatriation outside India. When your benefits accrue, you can take it back as long as you can provide the proof of the investments that's come from outside India. The other option life insurers give to the customers to also choose is that many of the NRIs also have investments in India, which is typically like a property. There are rental incomes coming in or from other sources which is generated in India. So they qualify for NRO. Those funds are necessary to be spent in India. And so broadly speaking, there are benefits for NRIs to invest in India. The tax benefits that the government provides are an added attraction over and above all the benefits that I spoke about in the earlier part, about cheaper product, innovative solutions, digital mode of onboarding, and the availability of multiple medical test centers, etc., are just some of them.
So, Rajesh, would be important to understand how this transformation has come about and how we've now started to look at insurance as an investment vehicle. And of course, we'll come to the NRIs aspect of it. But if you could put that in context for us.
See, traditionally, the life insurance industry always had a typical savings product, which lower returns, and the term insurance, which is purely to cover your life. What the private sector has done ever since, there is a lot of innovation into the product segment. Today we have retirement goals related products. You know, one can save for pension. We must be cognizant of the fact that we live in a country with almost the social security measures are not good enough for someone to save for their retirement. So one has to invest from their end as well. So the retirement products that the industry has come out with enable someone to live, to continue to maintain the same lifestyle even after their retirement. So that's a very important goal for many people, including you and me. The other innovation that happened in the insurance industry since the privatization is about unit-linked insurance policies. So this was also with the fact that there was a huge amount of stock market boom that was happening. With the stock market boom, there is a big opportunity for insurance industry to come up and tailor-make products where the investment happens in the stock market, so the customers get advantage of that. The ULIP is a great investment when it comes to wealth management per se. For wealth management, people have definite goals which are long-term point of view. The unit-linked products are perfectly positioned because the investment manager can have the money for a much longer term. The longer you stay in the market, the more your possibility of making returns. With that in context, unlike many other industries where the money flow is quite short-term in nature, here we have an advantage for the customer to generate higher returns. The annuity products is gaining far more popularity today. People are far more conscious today. There was a generation which is your parents and the parents before me, when someone could come up and say that, you know, why do I need life insurance? You know, the typical answer one would always hear that, you know, my grandfather has lived for 102 years and his father used to live for 100 years. We are a very confident society. You know, we no eventuality happens to us, you know. So life insurance never took off from that point of view. Talk about today's generation, far more well informed, and our kids will come up and say that, okay, I have these goals in mind, but if I want to meet these goals, I have to be alive and healthy to make it happen. In case if it doesn't happen during that time, I also want a backup. So they are. We see that the awareness around life insurance is coming up much more from the current generation than it used to be.
Fascinating, you know, and you've spoken about life goals, and that pretty much is the subject matter on this particular podcast series. So Rajesh, I want to ask you, right, what are your immediate life goals? I know a little bit out of syllabus, googly kind of question over here, but banta hai. So what is it that you have in mind with respect? I'm not talking about work, I'm talking about like personal stuff.
Well, I think the immediate and living goal would be that you live healthy, you know, nothing else. It's an unfortunate thing that it's an ignored fact for many, but I get very inspired by people who maintain a very healthy lifestyle, and I get inspired by a lot of people in my organization as well, you know, who I look up to when it comes to that. And that's a big benchmark to do. So leading a healthy lifestyle, That includes eating right, you know, a very ignored aspect. So that's something that I am pretty conscious about. What you eat. So if you do not live a healthy lifestyle, then none of the goals will make up, you know, so then it's not going to happen. So that's my immediate priorities. And the other life goal for me, personally for me, is that I want to be a better person tomorrow than what I was yesterday. It's a small goal that I chase myself, incremental learning that I do on a daily basis. So that's my immediate goal. On a long-term goal, if I remain healthy and if I continue, then obviously I want to have the same lifestyle that you are having when you are earning at the same time when I'm having my retirement. That's a financial goal. And a non-financial goal will be to pursue all my interests,
of which you have many. Languages, sports. Yeah. Is there anything else, like a new thing that you want to add to this already existing array of things that you that occupy your attention?
Well, travel is a very big part. So I love traveling. I love learning about culture, languages, people, habits. Something that I'm very fascinated about understanding from various places I go. So I would say travel, and travel requires one to have a lot of time, and that's perhaps not possible, but I'm pretty lucky to be in an organization and a role where work takes me to a lot of places. So I try to make the most of it whenever I'm traveling on work as well.
And well, just that kind of work taking you somewhere else is the sort of person that we are talking about on Life Goal Talks today, the NRI and investment opportunities. And that really brings me, Rajesh, to this other aspect of life goals. I know you've addressed it from the other, from the product point of view, of the kind of options available to NRIs today, the three different innovations that have happened in the last few decades or so. But from a life goal mapping perspective, right, what have you observed to be the typical life goals that an NRI has that then get addressed by the insurance solutions that we will explore in detail further?
So typically, I would say the immediate thing that we've seen from most NRIs is that there is a sense of insecurity about the job that they hold. Typically, when you talk about geographies like Middle East, wherein the jobs are in contracts and it's renewed every 2 years or 1 year, 3 years, as a contact, depending on their contracts. So there is always this underlying fear in their mind that what happens when I don't have a work in the Middle East, I'll have to go back to my home country. And it's also pretty difficult for somebody who's been in that kind of a geography and they worked for a long time to come and adjust to a work environment in India. I think the people are very conscious about that. So one of the first thing that we've seen is that I want regular income. So we've seen a lot of interest in our annuity products from this segment, saying that, you know, I can afford an investment today, but help me with the returns when I need it. So deferred annuity, as we call it, I don't need the returns now. You take some time. Right now the going is good. When it's not, then you start paying me my lump sum money, so that, or in installments, I would say, so that on it'll work like a regular income for them. That's one area of interest. Among NRIs, we also seen a great amount of interest for wealth generation, wealth creation, I would say. They have goals about sending their kids abroad, putting in universities. Obviously, it's going to cost a lot of money there. Building a house in India at a particular place. They don't need a house now because maintaining a property is difficult when you're not around. So typically, we've seen people saving over a period of time. And when they are ready to move into India is when they want to build a house. So we've seen that kind of an interest. So our products like unit-linked insurance perfectly fits in because they ride on the wave of the stock market growth. The other product which also seen interest and greater amount of interest is the term insurance. And you would ask me that why term insurance in India and when there are insurance companies there. Typically, an Indian term insurance is far cheaper because obviously it's priced in rupee, and when you talk about the cross-currency rates, it's much cheaper for someone who's earning in a stronger currency than in Indian rupee. And today's insurance companies also have innovated a lot in terms of buying insurance policy pretty easy. For example, the kind of medical test centers available abroad are far many now, because it's and many of the insurance companies also provide the testing at their home. You don't have to go out of their home itself. So cheaper product and easier to onboard. And the when I talk about onboarding, it's not only about medical centers, but also the home form, the whole form filling process itself. Today's insurance companies are pretty understanding that the time is very limited, and they are all used to a very different type of service, okay. Which is typically all these things are wealthy people, and they are used to an HNI kind of a service in the banks and everywhere else. It's a typical similar product that we built in making the journey of buying a policy very simple. Mm-hmm. So ease of buying a policy is something that everybody is doing. It's completely digital. Mm-hmm. You don't need to spend a lot of time in doing that. Okay. So with all these things coming together, and the fact, and the last thing about term insurance will be that typically someone who's abroad, most of the NRIs, especially the Middle East geography, I would say, have their beneficiaries back in India. Mm. So the nomination part and the beneficiary settlement happens in India gives a lot of confidence to them to buy a policy. Yeah.
So in a sense, what you're saying is peace of mind, so that eventualities will get taken care of, and your term insurance usually, take care of that. Wealth creation, which is a whole other ballgame from just savings, because people are not just happy about putting aside money and just watching that money be that finite amount for the rest of their life. They want to actually grow and turn it into wealth. And that is the whole idea why you will, move outside of your homeland to seek opportunities elsewhere. And the third thing is obviously retirement. That's fascinating that you mentioned that, Rajesh, because retirement to you and I is very different. So, we don't imagine our retirement years to be what, say, for example, our grandfather or a father or a mother would have probably done, which is to sit in a long, grandfather plantation chair and sip a nice cup of coffee while the world goes down around you. But you want income to pretty much match, if not better, your current lifestyle. What are your retirement, goals like? Have you planned for it? I'm asking you this question, shouldn't be asking you this, because you assume that someone like Rajesh Krishnan has it like fully planned. But tell us.
Well, before I answer my question, I want to add 2 points in what you said. Retirement is a serious thing. I think everybody should think about it. Unfortunate thing is not everybody can see if you beyond 3 years, 4 years in terms of investment. My own personal experience when I was in the bank, there are customers who come up and tells me that in the fixed deposit desk thing that I want to put a lakh of rupees for long term. Mm. So typically question is, what is long term? How many years? They say 1 year. So when your mindset is cannot see more than 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, and even in some other cases it could be maximum 3 years. But then the whole fact is that retirement is not going to come in 1 or 2 years. It's going to come after 20 years. So that's a very different type of savings, wherein today's life insurance companies have tailor-made this product. You save when you can and you pull out when you cannot earn in the same rate. That's what these annuity products and all are doing. So it's very important for people to know. And why am I saying this again? There are two specific reasons. One is inflation. Is going up across the world, and you can see that there's no better example than post-COVID, and you can see across travel industry, hospitality, you look at everything, the prices have gone up across the world, and it's not restricted to a geography. So people are today realizing that what I can get in 100 rupees in 2020 when the COVID hit, to what it is today in 2023, it doesn't give the same. The second thing, in India in particular, as we are progressing financially as a society, we are also progressing on our health aspect. Our health infrastructure is getting better and better. So the whole saying of my grandparents and his father used to live for 100 plus years may actually come to reality, it's going to come back. Yeah. So we're going to live much longer. What it means is that our retirement years are going to be probably longer than our earning years. So this is something that people should be cognizant about, and people should be even more aware. And the earlier you get in and start saving for retirement, the better. Yeah. So your question on my personal thing, so I've gone specifically on these paths. So my approach has been slightly different, I would say a little unconventional than the mass. The underlying principle that I followed is that live within your means. So if I was earning 100 rupees even 20 years ago, I always lived in 60, 70, depending upon how much I can run my house with. Right. And the remaining used to be forced savings, which happened much earlier. It's a lifestyle I decided to follow, but not necessarily for everybody, but that worked well for me. So it's always living within the means and don't fall for something which you don't purely believe in, you know, and do not buy into something that you don't require. And the need of buying should be a need and not a want. So I followed that aspect and didn't care much about what others think of you. But what works for you is the best thing.
Yeah, because you seem to be have been at least ahead of the curve, because that is pretty much the mantra that everybody now believes is the way to really go. But that really brings me to the question. So you're all set for retirement. Is that the case, Rajesh? You can retire safely. Corpus is nicely set. Power of compounding is being enjoyed. Is that correct?
No one knows what is enough. Right, so I wouldn't put a number. At the rate in which the inflation going up and the longer we are living, our goals could shift as well. So the message for me would be that wherever your earning years are there, wherever you can save, save the most, and only spend what is needed. I think that should be the way to approach, rather than looking at as a particular amount of money, because there are various calculations you will see. You go and talk to 10 different financial planners, they'll throw 10 different numbers to you. So nobody knows what is the right thing, but what is in your control is that how much you can, because even if someone says that you require 1,000 and you can only afford 100 to save, 100 is the right number, because I can't do anything beyond that. But what you can do, the maximum is what I would say.
Well, I think that's been an insightful journey for all of us here on Life Goal Talks. And Rajesh has been kind enough to really, I think, share the wealth of his information. And about, of course, the Bajaj Alliance products, we were quite sure that we would get that information. But certainly the macro picture as well is what he has painted for us. He's also helped us understand NRI life goals, how they need to, you know, factor in insurance into that roadmap as well. So that is really what I'm hoping that you've taken away from this episode of Life Goal Talks.
Thank you, Sheetal, for having me in the show, and I hope all of you enjoyed listening to us as much as we enjoyed discussing it. Thank you and see you again.